Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So this evening we are taking another dip into that transcendental ocean of nectar known as Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. It is nectar. Chapter number 7, Knowledge of the Absolute. Text number 27. Ichchatvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa Ichadvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa Icha desire. Dvesha and hate. Samutena arisen from. Dvandva of duality. Mohena
by the illusion.
Bharata,
Bharata,
O scion of Bharata,
Sarva,
all,
Bhutani,
living entities,
Sammoham,
into delusion,
Sarge,
while taking birth,
Yanti,
go. Parantapa, O conqueror of enemies. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the Savior of the entire universe. O scion of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Purport. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy. And cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc. Thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timbanandasha Kaneena Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvedam. The mentality described here by Krishna, it's not a very nice place to be. Krishna shows us both sides. He shows us, on one hand, what it's like to be liberated, Krishna conscious, which is very wonderful to hear about. He also says the other side, what it's like to be in Maya. Ooh, it's horrible. It's horrible. The state describes it. To be tossed on the waves of duality, it's just like a nightmare. It is a nightmare. Honor and dishonor, wealth and poverty. Is it? To be tossed on the waves, it's hellish. It's absolutely hellish. Sometimes you're praised, sometimes you're criticized. You see, you become elated when you're praised, and you become absolutely devastated when you're criticized. You become happy when you have some money, and you become devastated when you become impoverished. You see, this is the realm of duality, the material world. Therefore, Krishna advises that we have to be transcendental to these dualities. Matra sparsha stukontiya shitoshna sukadukada agama payano nityastam tatikshashvarata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. One must learn to tolerate them, O sign of Bharata, without being disturbed. It comes just like the season. Just like another hellish winter here in Germany, but now the spring is coming, the flowers are coming out on the trees, and everyone is looking forward, oh, spring is coming. You see. But then there'll be another hellish winter after that. Bounce back and forth. Dualities, you see. Sometimes people say, oh, you're so wonderful. Sometimes they say, oh, you're such a snake. Why are you so proud and puffed up and arrogant? You see. So the point is, if we become elated by the waves go up and down, basically. Whether you call it honor and dishonor, happiness and distress, wealth or poverty. It's just waves, the ups and downs of the material nature, that's all. So when the wave goes up, you get all elated and giddy and excited and, you know, intoxicated by the pleasure of the moment. Then guess what you're setting yourself up for? The wave is guaranteed. Sometimes the waves, sometimes you'll be riding high in the waves of the material nature. Sometimes you'll be in the middle, and sometimes you'll be way down there in the pits. You see? So if you allow yourself to become elated when it's going on the up, then I guarantee you when it goes down, you're going to be mortified. You're going to be absolutely devastated. So the key is to just be transcendental. That's the key. And realize this whole thing out here is just a movie going on, basically. Material nature is a big cinema, you know, the Mahatattva cinema house. It's a cinema going on. It's not really me. I'm not the body. You know, I have nothing to do with anything related with the body, actually. I really don't. You see? It's not really me. I'm not German. I'm not male. I'm not female. I really have nothing to do with this whole scene. Because I had a desire to be an independent enjoyer, Krishna said, okay, here's a little illusion. Go off now, you little child, and dream that you have the moon in your hand. You know the story of the mother and the moon. Is it? Everyone knows that simile, the mother and the moon. The child looked out the window and said, oh, it's so beautiful. Mommy, mommy, give me, give me. So can the mother give the child the moon? No. But the child is so insistent. I want, give me, give me, give me. So she says, all right, my dear child. She hands her a mirror and says, now you have the moon, it is yours. Ah, the child is so happy. Yes, now I have the moon. It is mine. So we desire to be the proprietor. We desire to be the independent enjoyer so strongly that Krishna said, all right, I'll give you this wonderful place called Germany where you can think that, yes, I am the enjoyer. I am the proprietor. So what happens when the moon moves in the sky? It's not in the mirror anymore. You see? Every now and then, by the motion of the moon, it'll be in your mirror again. You'll think, yes, I am God. But then the moon is always moving. So it won't be in your mirror. And after a while, you'll be totally devastated. A little child is crying. Is crying. I lost the moon. I lost the moon. I want to commit suicide. I lost the moon. You see? So, we never really had the moon to begin with. We just had the illusion of having the moon. So if we realize that our idea of being the controller, the enjoyer, the proprietor is a false concept to begin with, then we can totally attach ourselves from whatever is going on in this world. To say, oh Krishna, okay Krishna, do with me whatever you want. It's all right. There's one nice story in this connection. You heard that story, whatever Krishna does is all right. You've heard that story. Whatever Krishna does is all right. You've heard that story? Maybe. Anybody else heard the story? So anyway, you've heard. Yeah. You've heard? So there was one king. And he had a prime minister. This is in ancient days in India. So he had a prime minister. The prime minister was Krishna conscious. Whatever would happen, this prime minister would just say, whatever Krishna does is all right. He was actually a very good prime minister. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So one day the king had a little accident. He chopped off one of his fingers. You heard this. So the prime minister said, don't worry, your majesty. Whatever Krishna does is all right. He said, what do you mean? In the dungeon, you rascal. I lost my finger. And you say it's all right. You're in the dungeon. I don't want to see your face again, you rascal. King was so angry. So anyway, in the Vedic Kshatriya, they would, if an enemy attacked, they would lead the army. You see, they wouldn't sit in the White House in Washington, you know, and send the boys to Iraq to get blown away by Al Qaeda, or you know. They would be there on the front line themselves, putting their body on the line to protect their own citizens. You see, that was the Vedic kings. So, they would practice the killing art. They would go to the forest where the wild animals are sometimes harassing the sages who are meditating, like the tigers and things. And they would kill the tigers. They would practice the killing art and And in that way, they would also relieve the sages from disturbance in their meditation. So, the king, he went on a hunting trip into the forest. And a band of dacoits, you know, bandits, they captured him. And they were devotees of goddess Kali. And they would capture people and offer them as a human sacrifice to goddess Kali. So, they said, well, we got a nice, you know, handsome-looking man here. We'll sacrifice him to goddess Kali. They were getting him all set, you know, for the sacrifice. And then the last minute, they noticed, oh my God, he's missing a finger. How can we, you know, goddess Kali would be offended if we offer an imperfect body. We can't offer him. Let him go. What can we do? So he was so relieved. He was saying, yes, the Prime Minister was right. I lost my finger, but saved my life. Whatever Krishna does, all right. So he got back to the, rushed right back to the palace, went downstairs to the dungeon, and wanted to personally, you know, release his Prime Minister, personally open the door of the cell and let him out and embrace him and beg apologies and all that kind of stuff. So, and he went there, and the Prime Minister was, he was just like effulgent, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Completely transcendental to his imprisonment within the dungeon. The king said, you're not angry with me? Why? He said, Your Majesty, whatever Krishna does is all right. He said that, I also go on those hunting trips with you and I have all my fingers. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So, whatever arrangement Krishna makes for us, you see. The fact is, on the ultimate level, we are receiving the unlimited mercy of Krishna at every second of our eternal existence. Actually, every single thing that happens to us is the unlimited mercy of Krishna. You may not think so. You may not think so. But the fact is that everything that happens to you at every second is the unlimited mercy of Krishna. It's a fact. Whether it's, you know, whether it's being blessed by the mercy of a pure devotee or it's being whipped by the material nature, it's all the same purpose of being elevated out of this quagmire of material existence back to our original identity in the spiritual world. Is it? It's all for the same purpose. Everything that's happened is simply to get us out. Your father is Krishna. You are his beloved son. He loves you more than you can even begin to comprehend. And it is giving him great pain and anxiety that you are suffering in the cycle of births and deaths. He's not going to force you to come back, then you would just be a prisoner of his kingdom. He wants you to come back to his kingdom out of your own desire. So he's trying to do everything within his power to convince you that you should get out of this place and come back to his abode. Every conceivable thing he can do to do that, try to convince you he's doing it. Now it's up to us to be convinced now. Krishna's been trying since time immemorial to convince us to come back to our original position in the spiritual world through millions and billions of different ways. At the same time, he's allowed us to exercise our desire to enjoy by letting us try to enjoy in so many millions and billions of ways. As a germ, as a worm, as an alligator, as a crocodile, as a baboon. So many ways. As a politician, as a businessman, as a beauty queen, you see, as a demigod, as some ugly, deformed person. So many, we've tried everything. Krishna's let us try everything. We've been through 8,400,000 different species. And now we are in the human form, which is the ideal form for getting out of the cycle. And in Svargaloka, in the heavenly planets, the enjoyment is so intoxicating that it's, even though they know that they're to be devoted to the Lord, they're so intoxicated by material pleasure, they can't. It's practically impossible for them to give it up and take to Krishna consciousness, even though they're great devotees. Even though the demigods came and they watched the Rasa Leela in their airplanes. UFOs are nothing new. There was a whole sky full of UFOs during the Rasa Leela, hovering over the Rasa Leela arena and watching. The demigods were there in their spaceships, their UFOs, watching the Rasa Leela. So they know Krishna consciousness is where it's at. But yet, they're so intoxicated by their sense gratification, it's very difficult for them to put it into tangible reality and practice. Very, very difficult for the demigods to seriously take up Krishna bhakti on the level of pure devotional service. Very difficult thing. That's why they actually hanker to take birth on this planet. So this planet offers a very good facility, and especially in this age, the Kali Yuga, when times are so difficult, those persons who are highly elevated in transcendental knowledge, you know what they do about this Kali Yuga? You know what they do? They worship it. Yes. They worship this Kali Yuga as the best of all ages. Because in this age, in the very short lifespan of less than 100 years, simply by taking advantage of the Yuga Dharma. And what is that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Simply taking advantage of the Yuga Dharma in this short lifespan, you can achieve complete perfection. You can regain your svarup, your original spiritual form in the spiritual sky, which yogis can't do for thousands of years. You can do in a very short lifespan. My godbrother, Jai Gopal Prabhu, he had only been in the movement, this was in 1971, he joined in L.A., so maybe 68, you could say. He had been in the movement 3 years, and he was killed in an automobile accident. 3 years. Prabhupada told his wife, he is waiting for you in Vaikuntha. So you can imagine 3 years of practice, and he went back to Godhead. 3 years of practice, and Jai Gopal Prabhu went back to Godhead. What the yogis take tens of thousands of years to accomplish, Jai Gopal accomplished in 3 years. So therefore, if we do not seriously take up this process of Krishna consciousness, what is the Sanskrit word for us? Mudha. Foolish like asses. If we don't seriously take it up, we're simply a bunch of asses, you know. Little donkeys, you know. In India, you see them, they're carrying all the heavy load on the back. In Vrindavan, sometimes we see a caravan of donkeys loaded down with bricks, you know. Their bags are like sagging like this, you know. Heavy load of bricks, and they're going clunk, 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 clunk. We're just like little foolish donkeys, you know, carrying a huge burden of bricks on our back. For no purpose, just like get a little grass, and the grass is growing on the side of the road. Why do we have to struggle so hard? All we have to do is put in a little bit of honest labor, you know, and we can get our livelihood. And then chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Be happy. So let us become very serious not to be under the influence of delusion. Let us be under the influence of the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. Let us be under the influence of the Acharyas. You see, the great spiritual masters of the Vedic culture. Let us be under their influence. Mahajano yena gato supanta. One should follow that pathway which has been blazed through the wilderness by the great saintly teachers, Mahajanas. That's what we should do. We should look for that pathway which has been blazed through the wilderness of Kali by the great Acharyas. That way is being illuminated by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya 108, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is the greatest Acharya in the history of the world, and He has given us these wonderful books. We will mold our lives around these books. And we will be living in Vaikuntha at every minute, the spiritual sky. We may appear to be in Germany. We will be living in Vaikuntha. You see. So kindly take this Krishna consciousness very, very seriously. Do not loiter in the lap of Maya Devi any longer. Get free from that attachment for sense gratification by becoming attached to the name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, and associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, Krishna. That is our humble request. So you do that. Give up your suffering. Enjoy as you're meant to enjoy as Krishna's servant from now and forevermore. And the sun is just manifested to confirm. Krishna's sun is just now manifested to confirm my statement. So are there any questions? Everyone already knows all the answers. No one's experiencing any obstacles on the pathway back to home. Everything's just clear sailing now for everyone. No obstacles, no confusion, no delusion. Just clear sailing. Yeah?
I have a question. It is a kind of an obstacle. When my life is regular, the day, everyday life is regular, everything is all right. But if something comes in between and the regularity is not so nice anymore, then I'm completely helpless. And I think I must find some regularity or something which I can get some strength from inside. How is it?
You mean when things go bad, how do you maintain your equilibrium and not lose it? Is that what you're asking?
Not only if things are bad, but if things are different.
Different. So your normal pattern of service. If you're in that, then everything's fine. But if all of a sudden you have to serve in a whole different situation, then you're like, what's going on here? Well, the real fact is, you just simply have to go a little deeper into your heart. That means you're still on the platform, on the superficial platform of your material surrounding. That means you just have to learn how to go deeper within. Because actually there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that describes a devotee doesn't depend on any external situation. A devotee can be in any situation, in any time, any place, any circumstance, and just by sitting there, he can derive unlimited happiness within his heart. So you have to learn how to be more introspective, while at the same time doing your external activities very expertly and enthusiastically. You should simultaneously be cultivating deep inner realizations. And that comes by quality japa, by quality study, by quality dealings with the Vaishnavas, you see. That comes by having a very good, a very deep relationship with the spiritual master, you see. These things will root you on a very deep level that has nothing to do with the externals. have a very good relationship with the spiritual master, learn how to deal with Vaishnavas in a very wonderful, sweet way. The holy names, those things that are constant, you know, Guru is constant, Vaishnavas is constant, Prasadam, you know, the scripture, the holy name, those things which will apply no matter where you may be. What if you're sent to open a preaching center in Siberia? You see? What are the constant factors? So learn how to connect with those, not just, you know, this building, particular service. Learn how to connect on a deeper level. That's why sometimes it's good, you know, there's an opportunity to go to a festival somewhere and to be in Krishna consciousness in a different surrounding. That's what I like about traveling and preaching like I'm doing now a lot. It's nice to be going to a whole different situation and be Krishna conscious in that situation. It's great. So get down to what the real basics of Krishna consciousness are. Have a strong relationship with the spiritual master, with devotees. Be able to meet any devotee, not just the ones you already know, but be able to relate even with devotees that you've never met before in a wonderful transcendental way. In this way, you know, take the basic essential items of bhakti and connect on that level, which has nothing to do with, you know, being in Heidelberg or being in Germany or even being in this planet Earth. What if Krishna wants you to go to another planet and open a center in the future? You know, interplanetary sankirtan. What will you do? So no, I can only be a devotee on the Earth planet. Yes, he's very, very transcendental. My dear Lord Krishna, actually you can cultivate this attitude very nicely just by reporting into Krishna. Say, my dear Lord Krishna, I'm your eternal servant. You can do whatever you want to with me. It doesn't matter where you send me, what you ask me to do. Just let me always be your servant in all situations. If you pray like that, you'll cultivate the proper attitude. You see? My dear Guru Maharaj, you can do whatever you want to with me. I'm just your servant. You can keep me here, you can send me there. I'll do whatever you tell me to do, Guru Maharaj. And that way you can just pray to your spiritual master. You see? Just take me, I'm yours. How did Papa show the perfect example? Well, you read his arrival prayer? He said, now I'm just a puppet. Oh Lord Krishna, I'm just a puppet in your hands. You can make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. You see, that is perfection. Krishna, I'm just a puppet. Now you pull the strings and I will dance. If you always keep that mood, to the spiritual master, we pray the same way because he's the external manifestation of Krishna. We're not so pure to hear the direct order of Krishna, but Krishna speaks to us through our spiritual master. We say, Guru Maharaj, you're the puppet master and I'm the puppet. Just pull my strings and I'll dance however you want me to. You see, that mood will give you what you're looking for. How to taste the nectar in any situation, doesn't matter what it means. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
How we can get a strong relationship to the spiritual master when we are not immer with the spiritual master?
What is it?
How we can get the strong relationship to
with the spiritual
master? Ah,
the very easy way to develop a strong relationship with our guru. Prabhupada has given us that information, how to do that. Prabhupada explains that he was reading that commentary by Baladeva Vidyabhushana. And in this commentary by Baladeva Vidyabhushana, Prabhupada read this concept that one should take the order of one's spiritual master to be one's very life and soul. So, if we can whatever order we receive from Guru Maharaj, from our spiritual master, if we can say, this order is my life and soul. Just like Prabhupada was given the order to spread Krishna consciousness in English. And he dedicated his entire existence to filling out that order. To fulfilling that order, I mean to say. In fact, Prabhupada thought he would die here, perhaps. And he didn't know, you know, I think I mentioned last night that, or I mentioned, maybe it was in Samachala, but Prabhupada told us in Atlanta that he did not think that he would be successful in establishing this movement. He told us in Atlanta. I must have said last night. Or this morning, but yeah, I recently told that in a lecture. But Prabhupada said, let me try. Because, why? Because Guru Maharaj's order. So someone may think, well, you know, I can't distribute books. I can't distribute books. I have no ability. I won't be successful. If I go out and try to distribute books, I won't be successful doing that. So better not to go. If Prabhupada thought like that, we wouldn't be saved. Prabhupada thought, I'm not going to be successful, but still I have to go. Even if it means I just die there. That's all right. I tried to serve my spiritual master's order. Spiritual master asked me to go out and distribute books. Well, I may die out there without having distributed a book. You see? But that's all right. The disciple thinks, whatever order I receive from Guru Maharaj, that is my life and soul. I have to embrace that order tightly and just try. Success or failure doesn't matter. All that matters is that I sincerely try to serve my spiritual master's order. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. You see, make that sincere endeavor. And one should do it with enthusiasm, not begrudgingly. Oh, Guru Maharaj told me to do this. One should be enthusiastic. Prabhupada actually told me. I got a personal instruction from His Divine Grace, from the lotus mouth of His Divine Grace, through a letter. I don't know how it exactly happened, but when I got initiated, I sent my Guru Dakshina, because Prabhupada was in Europe at the time. I was in America. So the initiation letter came, and then the beads came by post, by separate post. I was a mail order disciple. So the advantage was, you know, I got to write a personal letter to Prabhupada, you know, sending my Guru Dakshina. As a yogi, I collected some money, you know, and I sent it off to Bhaktivedanta Manor, I think is where, or Soho maybe is where I. Maybe it was Berry Place at the time, I forget. But no, I mailed him a letter. I had been very inspired by Vishnu Jan Maharaj because he had made me a devotee there in Austin, and he was really into spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. I mean, he was a really fired up sannyasi. So I don't have a copy of the letter I sent Prabhupada, but I must have told Prabhupada that, you know, I would like to spread this movement. Because Vishnu Jan was really into that mood, and I was inspired by it. So I must have picked up that mood from him. So the letter I got back from Prabhupada was just amazing. He said, I can see that you are a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. He said, now just continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So, through all the ups and downs of so many situations and circumstances, I always remember Prabhupada told me to be enthusiastic and I would get the blessings of Krishna. When Prabhupada guarantees that one will receive the blessings of Krishna, those words come true. Prabhupada's words do not ever go in vain. They never go in vain. So when he told me that, I knew this was a very powerful personal instruction I received from His Divine Grace. If I simply always remain enthusiastic, no matter what's happening, even if it's utter failure and utter devastation, it doesn't matter. Just be transcendental and say, I don't care what happens. I'm always going to be enthusiastic about being Krishna conscious. I'm always going to be enthusiastic about ISKCON. I'm always going to be enthusiastic about spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. So I just made that determination. Why? Because I wanted Krishna's mercy. That's why. So, we should take the spiritual master's order and we should embrace it with great enthusiasm. Not begrudgingly, Guru Maharaj gave me this order. No. Yes, I will do this. I will try to make it successful. Just see how enthusiastic Prabhupada was in his preaching at 26 Second Avenue, or even before that. In uptown Manhattan, when he had that small office space, you can hear those original lectures he gave. He recorded them on a reel-to-reel tape, but they're available on the MP3 set. You can hear those original lectures. And he was just struggling with some old widow, you know, coming from Dr. Mishra's yoga class. I mean, it wasn't exactly, they weren't his disciples. They were just some curious old widows, you know. From Dr. Mishra's yoga class who are coming to hear the Swami. The Prabhupada had so much enthusiasm. And then one night nobody showed up for the evening lecture. Just Prabhupada all alone and nobody even came. So what did he do? He turned on the reel-to-reel tape recorder. And you know where that lecture is recorded that he gave that night? When nobody came? Does anybody know? It's called The Introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. That's the lecture Prabhupada gave one night when no one showed up to his class. He's all alone in his room there in New York. The reel-to-reel machine capturing everywhere. That's called enthusiasm. That's called determination. And if we embrace our spiritual master's order with that mood, then we become very, very dear to our Guru Maharaj. And by the blessings of the spiritual master, that's how we advance in Krishna consciousness. You have to please your guru. That's the system. When I please my guru, then his guru is pleased, and his guru is pleased. It's like you work in a company. Let's say I get a job at Ford Motor Company. And I think, okay, here I am. I'm going to please Mr. Ford. So every day when you finish your job, you say, okay, I'm going to go tell Mr. Ford what I did today. And there's 10 layers of secretaries you have to get through to get in. They won't let you in. Well, how can I please them? They won't even let me in. Well, there's a whole system of how you please Mr. Ford. You have your supervisor, and he has his supervisor. You please your direct supervisor. And then he gives very nice report. Oh, so-and-so, he's a very good worker. You see, and the word goes up the assembly, goes up the chain of command. And that way you become pleasing to Mr. Ford. Not that you have to directly get into his office to meet with him. So that is called the Guru Parampara system. I have my spiritual master, and then he has his guru, and then his guru, and his guru, and his guru. This is a transcendental Parampara system. So actually, if you simply please your spiritual master, then all the spiritual masters bestow their mercy upon you. That is our system. Dasa, 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 nidasa. The more you become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, that's how you become pleasing to Krishna and the previous acharyas. So, if you want to please your spiritual master, please also those who are his representatives. Not just him only. Well, only please my guru, and everybody else can just, you know, go jump in the Jamuna. No. Please all the Vaishnavas. We have to learn to please, not only please our spiritual master, but, well, the real meaning of pleasing our spiritual master is become pleasing to all the Vaishnavas by our activities. So, any other questions? Yes.
what to do when I have certain service and like cutting the vegetables or
do it with love.
But I know what I'm supposed, how I'm supposed to do it, but when I'm there, then my mind is telling me, oh, it's so terrible, and I get all mental and I can't.
Alright, you tell your mind and say, my dear mind, do me a favor, shut up. Just shut up. You have to become expert at, you know, telling your mind to shut up. Just knock it off, mind. Go take a bath in the, what's that river down there?
Nika.
Yeah, go down and take a bath in the, take a cold bath in the
Nika.
River down there, yeah. You just got to become expert. It's like you are the mother and your mind is the child, okay? If your child is running and screaming, of course you've never been a mother in this lifetime, but mothers have to become very expert, right? Okay, so mothers have to become very expert keeping their children under control, otherwise the mother would go crazy. So anyway, you have to become very expert at keeping your mind under control. Very expert. Otherwise you're just going to go nuts. You got to keep your mind under control. When it gets in the way of your service, just tell it to shut up. Shut up, you mind, you rascal mind. That's one approach. The other approach is the charmat. You can take the tough approach or the soft approach. Both are good. The soft approach is given by Govindadas. Bhajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charanada vindade durlava manava janama satsange Tarae Baba Sindhude. My dear mind, you simply engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. You see? My dear mind, but you simply come here now and see these vegetables? These are for Krishna. My dear mind, simply focus now on how you can cut these vegetables very nicely for Krishna. Make them become a master of the art of cutting potatoes. No, I'm serious. There's a nice story, actually an old Bhakti Guided article. See, normally think, well, the person who's actually cooking, that's the most expert position in the kitchen, you know, it's one of the stove, you know. So there's an old Bengali Manaji who cooks for Radha Madhava. I don't know if she's still there, but it's an article, old BTG article, you may have read that. And she was in charge of the kitchen, and you know, and guess who did the, guess what service she took cutting the vegetable? Because actually that is the most expert position in the kitchen, because how they come out depends on how they were cut. You can ask my wife, she's very expert at this science also. When we cut vegetables in her direction, we have to really cut them right. So there's a certain art of not too thick and not too thin. Then for them to come out with each piece of the vegetable to come out with the proper texture, not too hard, not too soft. They all have to be cut in a uniform fashion. You see? So there is actually a great science. What the fruit of your work is going directly into the mouth of God. So you're having a chance to directly serve the Supreme Personality of God, and you're finding that you have a begrudging attitude about your service. That's not very good. You need to get trained up. You need some training. And make sure you don't put your hand in your mouth also when you're cutting vegetables. You have a very bad habit of doing that. I need to get a stick. I've been telling you with a smile. Now I got to start telling you with a stick. Stop putting your hand in your mouth.
I can't.
She can learn from him.
Yeah, we have, and my wife has, I have a disciple, Bhaichara Prabhu in Austin, and he's never had a child before. Mataji is like the grandmother because she's training him how to train his child, and it has come out so well. This little boy is 3 years old, and he comes into the kitchen, and his father's cutting vegetables, and he gets a little stool so he can get up at the counter, and we give him a very dull knife so he won't cut his finger. He wants to cut, he's learning how to cut everything. He's 3 years old. And he does it, he demands to have to be able to do the service. He doesn't run around and play with toys. He wants to come in and cut vegetables for Krishna at the age of 3. So maybe you should get trained up by Kirtan and bring you to Austin. And Kirtan train you up by his example and how to be in the bhakti mood when you're cutting vegetables. Any other questions?
Another way she can control her mind is that we see many devotees, they have a MP3 player or cassette player, and here...
Yeah, you have some bhajans. You can, you know, chant some slokas, you know, chant the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you know. Take your favorite chapter and memorize it, and then whenever you're cutting vegetables, just recite the whole chapter again and again. Practice your slokas, you know. Raja vidya rajaghu yam pavitram viramuttamam rishikshavagamam dharmyam shushukam gatamav yayam. This knowledge of the king of education, the most secret of all secrets, is the purest knowledge because it gives direct perception of the self by this way. You have an intellectual nature. And, you know, you feel like, wow, I like to expand my intellectual nature. Then you memorize some verses and you recite them while you're doing your service. That way you're studying, you're being a learned Brahmin and a vegetable cutter all at the same time. I know I was given the service. I had an ecstatic, I'm very much inclined for preaching activities. I had a wonderful service in Atlanta where I was doing all the lectures, you know, when college professors invited a devotee to come, they would send me. When students came to the temple, I was the one who did all that kind of academic, you know, preaching in the temple and out of the temple. Somehow I got that service. I don't know how it happened, but I loved it. And then they sent me to Houston. And I didn't really know what was going to happen when I got there. When the devotee invited me into the kitchen. He said, here's your spoons. Here's your spices. Here's your pots. Hare Krishna, I'm going to Miami. I became the head cook. And I had a real, you know, I had a real intellectual nature to study philosophy and preach philosophy. And all of a sudden now, you know, I found out every devotee in the temple went on some kirtan. And I was going to be the only one at the temple all day long. Making the deity sweets, offering the aartis, answering the phone, answering the door, transferring the plates, washing the plates. I had to do everything. I ran the whole temple service. The cooking and the puja was all on, and answering the phone and taking care of guests was all on my shoulders. And I was amazed. One day I was able to get enough free time to go mail a letter 2 blocks away from the temple. It was like unbelievable. I actually somehow was able to squeeze in getting out the door of the temple for 5 minutes. I mean, I was like a slave in that temple. You know, just stirring, cutting, cleaning, offering puja. But my one saving grace was, I had one cassette only of a lecture of Prabhupada. Just one lecture. But, you know, two sides. I mean, there's two lectures, the front, side A and side B. It was the temple opening address in Hyderabad. It was on one side. So for a whole year, all I did was listen to that tape over and over and over, the same lecture. Again, and I tell you, I never got tired of that lecture. And every time I heard it, I got more nectar and more nectar out of the same exact lecture. For a whole year, hundreds and hundreds of times, I listened to that same lecture. And it became sweeter and sweeter and sweeter the more I heard it. Because I was absorbed in service. So you have a very good opportunity. You can hear lectures while you're doing that service. Krishna has arranged that for you for a reason. Now take full advantage of it. You see, you're on the mental platform. You're thinking, Prabhupada wrote a letter one time to a devotee who was on the mental platform. The devotee was thinking, well, Prabhupada, I think I would be better off in this service. You think like That's your mental state. I think I'd be better off doing this. That's called the mental platform. Prabhupada said that is the platform. The mental platform is the platform of accept, reject. He said you have to come to the intellectual platform of understanding. You see, get off the mental platform. Simply think, Krishna has arranged, see everything through the eyes of the scripture. Krishna has arranged this service for me to cut the potatoes. Now, let me do it in an expert way. Here's an insider secret on how to advance quickly in bhakti yoga. Whatever service you're doing, it may be something you love to do, it may be something you hate to do. Do it with, try to become very good at it, try to relish it. Every service that you may do, the quality that you do it in will manifest into your other devotional activities. There's a connection between every type of service I may do. Those things that you like to do, that's fine. Do them with love and devotion. Sincere love and devotion. And you may like, I don't know, what's your favorite activity? Taking prasadam? Alright, so when you're taking prasadam, say the prayer with great love and devotion. Go very deep into a mood of bhakti when you say the prasadam prayer. Not just, let me get this over with so I can take prasadam. You see? Say it with bhakti. Shadira vinjajan tendriyate ka jivaipale vishaya shangare. With deep intensity. You see, try to develop a bhakti mood and really take it. This is the mercy of Krishna. Try to perfect the art of taking prasadam. Turn it into a science and an art, the way you honor prasadam. And then, the things you don't like to do, because you're sincerely calling bhakti mood by doing the things you like to do, that will carry into the things you don't like to do. And you'll do them better. And then when you're doing them, also strive to the best of your ability to do it in the mood of bhakti. Krishna has arranged this service for me. You pray, my dear Lord Krishna, please bless me. I can cut these vegetables for you in the mood of love and devotion. Pray that way, sincerely. Every time you have to cut potatoes, pray like that. And then that will, because you're praying that way, when you take prasadam, you'll be able to take prasadam even with more bhakti spirit. And because you have more bhakti spirit when you're taking prasadam, you're taking those potatoes that you cut. You see, everything, all the bhakti activities, then they enhance each other. You take any bhakti activity you're doing, like coming to Mangalarti, putting on your tilak, you see, take every bhakti activity you're doing and try to make it more devotional, and then automatically all your other devotional activities will start to come to a higher level of consciousness. So in this way, the science of bhakti is very, very precise and very, very, it's a very precise science is the word I mean to say. Just like a watch, you know, that is perfectly accurate. The science of bhakti is precise. It's not a hit or miss thing with the science of bhakti. When you put the energy into bhakti, the result will be there. Guaranteed by Krishna. Ye yata mang prapadyante tamstatayu bhajamya. You see, the result will be there. So go ahead and put that, you know, cultivate that bhakti. Whatever you're doing, whatever your authority asks, you do it with bhakti. Even if you don't feel it, say, Krishna, please bless me. I can do this activity in mood of devotion. And then you'll be just amazed at one day you just feel like you're in the spiritual world. You just feel like you're in Goloka Vrindavan, cutting vegetables for Krishna, to assist Mother Yashoda, cooking for him. That day will come in the future. When you just there'll be a mystical transformation. You just feel like you're cutting vegetables for Mother Yashoda. That day will come. Questions, Mark? So that means we can stop here. We thank you all very much for your nice attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Rajya Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Thank you.